But I want to talk to you tonight probably about the most important subject in the whole Bible is humility. It's probably the most important subject in the whole Bible. And the reason is we struggle so much with it. And you say, no, I don't. See, you are. By saying you don't, you are. Because we're all flesh. We all want to be elevated. We all want to look good. We all want to be seen to a certain degree. And of course, I'm not meaning that it's wrong to be, you know. I'm just talking about that carnal part of us that wants to be exalted. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. If you'll stand, I'll read a verse of Scripture to you, and I ask them to sing a song. I don't know if you'll know all the words to this song, but you can just see if you do. Luke 1 and 46, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, talking to Elizabeth, her cousin, said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Wow, what has happened to her? For he hath regarded the low estate. Low estate. The lowly of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. We're still talking and reading about Mary having Jesus. All generations. And before that, you didn't even know her name. But he took this one that was down there so low that just a handmaiden, just a virgin. And now look. For he that is mighty hath done me great things. And holy is his name. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. I want to teach tonight, mighty people in low places. Mighty people in low places. I want them to sing this song. See if you can remember all the words to it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Not but one word. Not but one word. And it can pull down the power of God. One word. Hallelujah. Oh, the simplicity that it takes to get him to answer. When Jesus prayed, there was no complex prayers. It was simple. I want to talk to you about mighty people in low places. God bless you. You may be seated. The most important thing for you to realize in your low place, wherever you find your place in God, it better be a low place. And whenever you find your place in God, the most important thing for you to realize is that He sees you. I said that He sees you. Not that man sees you or the preacher sees you. I hope they notice that I did such and such. But the most important thing you need to understand is that He sees you. Jesus didn't stop His preaching often, but He did a few times as He was preaching. He stopped one time, I will tell you, when He was preaching. He saw a woman in the crowd. It said, and He saw her. As He was preaching, He saw her. And she was like this. And while He's preaching, He saw her. He didn't say, I saw the Pharisees, I saw them sitting in the higher places, and I saw the high priest on the right, and I saw, He said, I saw her. You ever see anybody walk around like that? I feel so sorry for people. And I'm like, sometimes you want to put your, you know, and just say, straighten up, but it's not that way. It's just, it happens, you know? And you think, that could never be me, but it can be you. And He saw her. He said, thou daughter of Zion. He said, come. And the Bible says she came to Him. That goes back to my sermon, I'm going anyway. Because nobody wants to get up. But she said, I'm going anyway. And she got up there, and she had an infirmity for 18 years. There's a difference between an infirmity and a sickness. Infirmity is what the devil put on you. And this infirmity had her for 18 years. And the Bible says, in no wise could she lift herself up. There's some of you that keep trying to lift yourself up. The problem is you can't lift yourself up. You should never try to lift yourself up. But the Lord knew how to lift her up. Why? So the Lord could get the glory out of lifting her up. And He looked at her and said, woman, thou art loosed. And immediately she raised up. And God got the glory that day. Oh, yeah, it sparked the Pharisees and all. Isn't this the Sabbath? I think today's the Sabbath. You're not supposed to do that on Sabbath. But God got the glory. A woman in a very low place, of low degree, who didn't really have anything that anybody would want to recognize her for. But He saw her. And the most important thing you need to realize is God sees you. He sees you in your loneliness. He sees you in your depressed state. He sees you in your oppression. He sees what you handle on the job. He sees your tears at night. He sees that you wake up in the middle of the night with a word on your heart to pray. God sees all of that. We don't get to make announcements about that. Let me talk just a little bit of chemistry for you. Some of the lowest compounds that we have in the world is like sodium chloride. Does anybody know what sodium chloride is? You remember that? Brother Jake, you remember what sodium chloride is? Oh, you got to be kidding me. What grade did you? Oh, no. Salt. Sodium chloride. H2O. You don't know that either, Sister Judy? He needs to repent. Salt. Water. Some of the lowest elements. They're simple elements, if you will. Just a compound, if you will, of sodium and chloride. Yet, even though it's so simple, it's so necessary. Take away salt. Take away water. Where would we be without water? care how many horsepower you got under your hood, you still need tires. There's still a simple component to everything. And I'm afraid we get too advanced and we miss out on the simple things. Car goes flat, great, you got 400 horsepowers under there, it won't go. And sometimes I think we need to realize the sodium chlorides and the H2Os of the gospel. The very thing that makes this thing work. Lest we get caught up in the things that really don't make it work. Sometimes I call it hype. That's not it. Can I pause right here and say this? It's just us here tonight, right? One thing that eats me up. Just one thing I'm going to tell you that eats me up. I want the guys that sit up there to worship like they want you to worship. Don't sit up there and cross your legs and sit like this. And when it's your turn to preach, you've got a six shooter at my feet trying to get me down. You need to do what you want other people to do. That's what leadership is supposed to do. Hallelujah. And so I believe, let's just make it simple. If you're going to sit there and cross your legs and never worship, then I'm going to do the same. Don't expect more out of me than you do. That's simple, right? But I'm afraid that we have complicated things so much and we squabble over scriptures that really don't matter. Debate this, debate that. I believe the Lord's coming in this. He's coming. That's what I know. He's coming. Hey, make yourself ready. He's coming. But I don't know the day or the hour. I don't know if the world's going to melt down or melt up. I don't know. They got all kinds of terminologies now. I don't know. But I know He's coming. Hallelujah. And so I want to look at some of the H2Os and the sodium chlorides that, you know, those are stable compounds in our world today. And listen, the more simple something is, the more stable it is. Now, in this life, the simple-minded aren't stable, right? But the simple in Christ are the most stable people there are. Just they're stable. They're solid. But the more complex an element gets in the world, you start putting some sodiums here and some hydrogens here and some nitrogen here, and you build this big complex model. It's volatile. It becomes more volatile. But something that is stable is simple. Now, Jesus said that you are the salt. See, I'm going someplace with this. You're the salt of the earth. You're the simplicity of the earth. How many can tell me something salt does? Huh? Preserves. It does that. Yeah, it also helps, enhances the flavor of things. It's a wonderful element. It's very simple. But Lord, I've watched so many people eat, and they salt it before they even taste it. How many of y'all do that? They just, because they, you know why? They want that excitement. See, salt really is a, you know, you got sweet, sour, salt, bitter, and whatever, you know, about four or five different things that your taste buds can do. And salt is one of them. And what it does is enhances the flavor of what's already there. And He said, you are the salt of the earth. You should be an enhancer of the gospel. You should be a preserver of life, right? And so He said, you are the salt of the earth. We are the preserver. That little thing called sodium chloride, you can sprinkle it on meat. They've done this for ages. You sprinkle it on meat, and what it keeps it doing is from decomposing. It keeps things from separating. That's what it does. And so what you and I should be is keeps things from separating. You and I should be the preserver. We should be the saver of things. Hallelujah. So He goes on to say that if the salt has lost its savor, not its flavor, but its savor, what good is it? If you're not a peacemaker, He said you should be a peacemaker. You should keep things together instead of tearing them asunder. What good is it? He said it is. If it's lost its savor, it is cast out and trodden over the feet of men. It's even useless to them. They throw it away. Have you ever heard this term? I'm just going to give you a little trivia thing here. He's not worth his salt. You ever heard that? He's not worth his salt. Can I tell you where that comes from? It comes from the word salary. The word salary is derived from this. It's because back when this was first started, a soldier would get his wages or his pay, and they would give him a small amount of money to purchase salt. So that we say he's not worth his salt means he's not worth his that much salary. Because salt was cheap. But they would set aside a certain amount of money to go, said in addition to your wages, to go buy salt in those days. And so now we look at somebody and say, he's not worth his salt. And I want to tell you, if you don't shine and glow with the Holy Ghost and share this thing, you're not worth your salt. If you're going to walk around like this and the world looked at that, why would they want anything you got? You're not worth your salt. Salt is a very low compound, but it does mighty things. And so it is tonight that you and I, God gave us a very simple thing. The power of the Holy Ghost is unbelievable what it does in a person's life. And when you see people receive it, I told them, I said, once you receive the Holy Ghost, you'll say, I could have done that years ago. It's so simple. People complicate it. It's so simple. And I know that he's talking about the salt. He says it's not worth its savor. And because he goes to the next scripture and he says, ye are the light of the world. See, he went from telling them you're the salt of the world to you're the light of the world. And neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. But they put it on a candlestick so that the whole household can see. So he's letting us know that not only are you the salt, the preserver, you're the light of the world. But if you're going to hide what you've got, what good is it? What good is it? Light gives us the power to see. Salt gives us the power to preserve things. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of things in life that I wished I could have preserved, right? There's a lot of things. When they make jellies and jams and stuff like that, and my mom makes some, but a year later, look at it. It's starting to turn brown and you can't. So, but we add preserve, we try to preserve things. And the Bible says that the Holy Ghost, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I want to read a few scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling. See, you see your calling. You've got to understand your calling, brethren. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble are called. Any presidents in here? Senators in here? You know, it's not many of those that are called. Not many that the world looks up to are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. A slingshot and a giant comes to my mind. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Why does he choose you? Say, why did he choose me? He'll only choose you because you were so low. He chooses mighty people in low places. Even when he chose Saul, he was a low degree. He was of the smallest tribe, of the tribe of Benjamin. Oh, I'm not worthy to be the king. Then he elevated himself, and God said, I'm through with you. I've got another man that's like you used to be. I chose him. The difference was David stayed humble. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made us unto wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. We have to always remember, I can do all things, but through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. The older I get, my brothers and sisters, the more pure I like things. I do. I like. The Bible says that everything that comes down from above is first pure. It's first pure. And then men mess it up, mixing it with other things. But purity is he read, blessed are the pure in heart. For theirs is the kingdom of God. And that's why I had him read those Beatitudes. The meek inherit the earth. My goodness. Now, the Bible says that, and this is all in this passage of scriptures, it said the Father sees in secret. Our Father, which is the Spirit of God, he's in secret. I haven't seen him. He's so secret, I haven't seen him. Even Moses followed him who was invisible, seeing him who was invisible. And that's who we see, him who is invisible. Our Father is in secret. And the Bible says that we too should be in secret. So I read you these scriptures. It says, Jesus was teaching one day, and he said, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward for your Father which is in heaven. There's no reward from your Father which is in heaven when you do things to be seen of men. He said, therefore, when thou doest alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that you may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Thine alms may be in secret, that thine alms may be in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward you openly. Are you catching this? Our Father is in secret. And when you go into secret, he meets you there. And when you give in secret, he rewards you openly. You're going, man, that guy's blessed over there. Goodness gracious. Well, yeah, I'm blessed because I got so much college education. I got a good deal. No. No. You're blessed because he gave you the health to do whatever you do. He said, know you not that it is me that gave you health to get wealth. And when thou prayest, now this one's cool. When thou prayest, I hope that you pray. And when thou prayest, he said, don't do like the hypocrites do, for they love the standing in the synagogues and on the street corners. Why? They want to be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. They just got seen. That's what they wanted. But when thou prayest, enter thy closet and shut the door. Go where? Into secret. And pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which, that's what I've always said too, heareth, but it says seeth. I caught that when I was, I've always thought it said, thy Father which heareth in secret, but he says he seeth in secret, shall reward you openly. It lets me know it's not really so much about what you say. It's about what you do and how you do it. Because he's criticizing them for their being seen, you see. And he's telling you, when you go into your closet, I see you. Some people just know how to pray. They just, I'm like, man, I wish I could pray like that, you know. Now, when I pray, I just, Lord, it's me again. You know, I just talk to him. How many of you just talk to the Lord? You just talk to him. He's my best friend. And I don't talk to him in open like I talk to him in secret, because y'all would think I'm crazy. You think I'm simple-minded. But that's the way I talk to him. And I feel so close to him. You need to talk to him like Abraham talked to him. It's like he was right there. He was friends. And he said, well, he don't talk back to you. He talks back to me all the time. Somebody said, you ever heard the voice of the Lord? I hear it all the time. All the time. Says, is it audible? Yeah, in my mind, just like I hear you, I hear that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. I don't want y'all to think I'm crazy. So he sees you in secret and rewards you openly. And he said, but don't do these vain repetitions. And can I teach you a little bit about prayer? Because he goes in, we're going somewhere, because he goes into the Lord's Prayer from here. But these vain repetitions can even be quoting scriptures. It can be just quoting scriptures. He knows all the scriptures. What he wants to know is what's in there. Now, I realize when we're together, we're going to pray a little bit different. I understand that. But that's good, too, that we come together and we pray. But you need to find that time. Because when you're praying alone, you're probably not quoting all them scriptures and saying the same thing. You need to talk to him. He said, your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. And so God takes those things of low degree and he elevates them to the highest degree. The disciples wanted to know, who's the chief? Who's the chief among us? You know, we've talked many times, I won't sit on the right and I won't sit on the left. And as soon as you say kingdom, you mean organization. I mean, a kingdom is an organization. That's what it is. And so let me do this, let me be that, and I won't sit and 12 tribes of Israel are going to rule and I won't be there. No. And he said, they said, who's the chief among us? He said, he that is chief, let him serve. Woo! Let him say, here you go, can I get you anything else? Would you like to have some coffee with that? Don't ask Richard that, but he's trying to quit. But serve. And number one on Christ's bucket list was what? He took a bucket and washed their feet. He served them. He said, do likewise. The greatest among all of us here tonight is not the pastor, it's the servant. And if I'm not a servant, I can never be the greatest. The lowest in his eyes is the highest. As I've said many times here, I have the greatest chance of being lost out of all of you. I do. I have the most accountability. That's why James said, my brethren, there be not many masters, for they be in the greater condemnation. You take on a huge risk, if you will, to try to be over other people and so-called legislate and help them with their needs. And then I have my own too. Do you understand me tonight? So when you pray for your pastor. Hallelujah. You'll notice Jesus, when he prayed separately from them almost every time. The only prayers we heard him pray was like over Lazarus, Father, I thank thee that thou heard me. On the road to Emmaus, there when they broke the bread, he prayed. And when he broke the bread for the 5,000, he prayed these little short prayers. But Jesus went into places, and you didn't see him for days. He would be gone, and he'd come back with power and healing blinded eyes and raising up the dead. And his disciples said, wait a minute, what you doing behind that rock over there? Yeah, what you doing behind that mountain over there? When you go behind that bush for a few hours, you come back out and you're doing all kinds of stuff. He said, no man does stuff in secret and then does it openly. Why don't you show us what you're doing in secret? That's like, you know, magician. He's got a way of, how'd you do that, you know? And Jesus was doing that. And it's like, how are you doing that? And he said, it's prayer. It's prayer. One place they took the lunatic son, you remember that? The Bible says he was foaming at the mouth and they were all, in Jesus' name, come out of there, you devil, and having no success. You try it, John. You try it a while. But you're wearing me out. Hey, you come out of there, you devil, you, and nothing. So the man said, is that all y'all can do? I mean, he's looking and he's like, that's the best you can do. So they go to Jesus, the disciples go to Jesus, and they say, Jesus, there's a man over there, and he's wearing us out. That devil, we can't get rid of him. We don't know how to do that. They said, bring him to me. And they brought him to Jesus, and you know Jesus just talked to the man. He said, see, that's what I like about Jesus. Before he'd healed his people, a lot of times he'd talk to them. How long has he been like this? Oh, he's born like this, been like this. Oftentimes he's thrown into the fire, into the water, into the devil. And the man right there starts foaming at the mouth, throws himself down. Yeah, he's possessed, all right. And the man said this. He said, do you believe? And the man said, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. You see, when you see things, it's hard to unbelieve that. What you see is hard to unbelieve. And he said, help thou my unbelief. And so the Lord healed this man, and he turns around to them and said, these kind. Everybody say, these kind. Let me tell you, whatever it is that is these kind for you, that you're having trouble with, these kind, and you've been putting up with this and putting up with somebody and putting up with this and putting up with that problem, these kind only go out when you go behind the rock, when you go behind the mountain, when you get alone, when you go to that secret place. They only come out with fasting and prayer. Sometimes I think we put up with things too long because we don't go to the secret place that the Lord has for us. Let me go a little bit further. God has always taken the low estate and elevated them. He took Mary of the low estate, and she had the highest, if you will. The lowest had the highest. He said, the mighty one hath made me great. And he took people like Gideon of a low estate and made him mighty. Called him a mighty man of valor. David was a no name. And look at the, he's now God's going to, Jesus sits on his throne. He took people of low degree. Even John the Baptist, when you read about the life of John the Baptist, at the beginning of the story of John the Baptist, it talks about Philip the Tetrarch and Herod, and it talks about all of these people that others look up to. And then it says this, and the word of the Lord came unto John in the wilderness. You see who the word of the Lord came to? It didn't come to these your state representative and your political figures. It came to a man who was in the wilderness. He was in that secret place alone, eating honey and locusts, not ribeye and barbecue. He was eating honey and locusts, and he was alone with God, and God was talking to him. He was talking to him. And he come out of the wilderness with power. And everybody went out to see him. Your secret place, my brothers and sisters, should be in your prayer closet. You need to find a place to pray. Prayer is the most unpreached secret in the kingdom of God. You know why we don't pray as much as we need to pray? I'll tell you why we don't pray as much as we need to pray. Because many times we only pray out of condition. This is the real church here. We pray out of condition. It gets bad enough, we pray. When we really need to pray out of position. And many times it takes your condition to get you to realize your position. The prodigal son had to get in that condition to realize his position. But it wasn't until he got in that condition, he said, you know, I am his son. That is my father. You know, I do think he'll take me back. I'm just going to go say I've sinned. See, Jonah goes into the belly of the whale. It was that condition that made him realize his position of being called of God. In the belly of hell, he said, cried I will look again into thine holy temple. And the word of the Lord came unto me a second time and said, arise and go to Nineveh. It is your condition, my brother said. See, we go pray, Lord, remove this pain. Remove this thorn, if you will, like Paul prayed, right? Remove this, God. Lord, I'm so sick. What you need to realize, he said, is where this power comes from. They said, after he said, you're the salt of the earth and you're the light, then they said, teach us how to pray. How do you do all these things? I do them in my closet. That's how I do them. I do them in my closet. Now, I don't know if any of you has ever said this before, but, you know, you take all kinds of criticism being a preacher. I mean, somebody said to me one time, said, you're just not an anointed preacher. You're just not anointed when you preach. You just, because he thought I would be screaming and hollering, you know. I said, brother, I really don't come up here and wait on the anointing. I'm anointed in my closet. I'm anointed when I'm studying this stuff. That's where the anointing comes, is there. And all I can do is deliver it to you. But if the anointing is when I get loud and when I scream and when I run, then I don't want any of that anointing. I don't want that anointing. What I want is something that changes your life. Something that improves your relationship with God. Something that makes you realize I am his son. He is my father. And that's why he said, now listen, when you go into your closet and pray to your father, see, it's the position you have that gives you the right to pray. I'm his son. I'm his daughter. I'm his child. Wow. And we need to realize that it is our condition that leads us to recognize our position with God. And as they come tonight, sometimes we have to be lowered to realize his strength. Is it not true that he told Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient. This is all you need. I wish I could tell you God's going to heal you of every condition that you get. Now, let me tell you something about praying for health and things like that. I don't know where God ever restored anybody beyond the normal. Now, I know he had Samson. I understand that. But people that he healed were people that were abnormal. Now, I've said this before. I don't know, Brother Doucette, you in here tonight? There you are. I've told him this before. And when I told him this, he said he had to think on that. And he'd come back and said, you're right. I'll pray for your beat up knee all you want me to. You be 85 years old, I'll pray for it. We're going to pray the Lord help you with the pain, take the pain away. But I had never seen him do a knee replacement. If he would have, how many knees do you have? Three chains, four chains? How many? Oh, you only had two knees. Okay. She said, how many years did you wait and he never healed you? 20 years. Don't y'all think if God was going to replace a knee, he'd replace my mother's knee? As many people, she 1 week. What I'm trying to teach you is he restores you to normal. And it is normal for some things to wear out. You see these glasses here? I can pray all I want to. God, give me 22. It's normal. But what he wants to heal you of is the things that are not normal. He restored blinded eyes, deaf ears, lameness, weakness, and gave them strength. Bad ankles. You look at all the healings he did. He brought them back to normal. And sometimes people are wanting to be Superman when you just need to be normal. Am I right, Brother Doucette? You went ahead and had that knee replaced, didn't you? Yeah. And I'm not teaching that God can't heal a knee. I'm not telling you that. But I am just telling you that when you pray, you better pray his will be done in everything you pray. But what God brings us back to is normalcy. Old age is normal. I know that's not going over good with the 55 and older. We're starting off on a bad note, Brother Bowden. I'm sorry, Sister. But it's normal. And I just have to pray sometimes, God, help me. Last scripture, James 1 and 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Hallelujah. I'll never play the guitar as good as Brother Artie Petrie. But you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'll never win as many souls as my mama's won. It won't because I don't try. It won't because I didn't practice. I'll never catch as many fish as Ken. It's not because I don't wet a hook. So you can get all despondent about what you can't do that other people can do. I'll never pray like Brother Douglas prays. I mean, that man starts praying, you, hallelujah, you feel the Holy Ghost. I can't pray like that. I have to pray like me. And you pray like you. I have to realize that one plants and another waters. It's God that gives the increase. H2O. That's right, H2O. So when you begin to compare yourselves among yourselves, it's not wise. God loves you just like you are. He loves you just like you are, just like you are, just like you are. Now that doesn't mean we don't need to improve. But what that means is you are you. And you are you. And rather than getting down on me, the worst person to get down on you is you. You're your own worst enemy. But if we'll learn to work together, hallelujah, as the body of Christ, then what you're good at, you lead us in that. See, I can't do what he does or what they do. Lord, I've been in churches where I was the only instrument. Sister Cindy, where are you at? I was playing the guitar, and my dad was trying to start a church, and I was singing, "I'll fly away, oh glory." That's all we had. Never despise the day of small beginnings. And we said, we need to pray, God send us a piano player. We need a piano player. God send it. Sister Cindy said, "I'm going to take lessons. I'm going to take lessons." And we were praying, God send us one, when we had somebody right there who said, "I'll apply myself." And she started taking a few lessons, and it was bonk, 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 "I'll fly away, oh God." But it enhanced so much, just that. Woo, hallelujah. And then we had a little bass player, and then before long, you know, "Brother, play me a scale up there, any scale, do, re, mi, you know." Yeah, a little slower now. See, never despise, keep playing that, the day of boredom, the day of monotony, the days of mundane, the days of, "I wish this day was over. I'll never get there. I'll never be anybody. I just don't know." But you know what? The first thing you have to learn is scales. Liberace had to play scales. And before long, you start putting a chord together. "Give me a chord." "Oh yeah, now play a little bit." You see, it started out with mundane. It started out with, "I don't feel like practicing today. Get up and go to work. I don't feel like going to work today. Hello, honey, I'm in. What you got cooked?" "Oh, nothing. Let's go to McDonald's then." Yeah. Burger King, that's right. And get some water, you know. It's all we can afford. I'm sick of being broke. But I'm going to keep working, and I'm going to keep saving, and I'm going to keep doing what's right. And before long, you know, we're a little better off than we used to be. Before long, you start hearing a little more cards and a little bit more. Here's a run to go with that scale. Because you know what? I learned it from scales. I learned it when I didn't have nothing. I learned what little preaching I do when there was five people there and I was trying to teach and preach. And don't get disappointed with, just vanilla. Oh, the vanilla days. I see those kids go to Ryan's and they get vanilla, and by the time they leave, you can't even see the vanilla. It's got all this sparkly stuff on it and all of that kind of stuff. And now when I got old, I just want vanilla. I don't want all that stuff on it. You know, I just want vanilla. Hallelujah. You love the Lord tonight? You see, that love, you see, you can try to do everything to cover a multitude of sins. But he said, what covers a multitude of sins? Love covers a multitude. There's nothing more simple and basic than love. Nothing. There's nothing more than you two to say, "I love you." Yeah. Nothing more important. You two say, "I love you, honey." My wife and I, sometimes we go to bed, and when we get ready to go to bed, she says, "You haven't told me today." You know what that means? I say, "Well, you haven't told me either." So we go back. You see, there's nothing more important than the simple things. That can override the arguments you had yesterday. Hallelujah. I'm through. I'm done. Let's stand tonight. Don't complicate the gospel. Don't complicate your life. Don't complicate. God, if God forgives you something, He'll forgive you like that. Don't complicate it and hold it against your brother and hold it against yourself. God, when He forgives you, He forgives you. Hallelujah. Make me pure and make me whole. You don't need this long prayer. Just say thanks. Thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Pure. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for seeing me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the calling that's upon our lives today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that the calling of God is upon our lives, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Please prepare me, Lord, to be in sanctuary. Hallelujah. Thank you for your spirit, Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for shedding your blood, God. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming to earth, Lord, and taking on the role of man and dying for our sin. Hallelujah. Oh, tried and true. And with thanksgiving, I'll be God is looking for. Can I tell you what all he's looking for? Is a place to live. He lived in that box, and then he lived in that temple, and now he wants you. But he said, I won't stay in an unclean temple. Clean it up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Close your eyes. Let's pray as we get ready to go. God, I'm thankful that you're so complex in some ways, God, I can't understand you. But yet you made it so simple that even a child can understand how to be saved and understand that there's a God up there somewhere. Hallelujah. I'm glad, Lord, that you came in flesh and gave up your life that we might save ours. Lord, help us not to complicate things and make our own life so complicated that we can't serve you in simplicity. For, Lord, truly, we can get so entangled with the things of this world that we don't have time for you. And Lord, let us remember, never forget the source of our strength and where our blessings come from today. Glory to God. Enhance, Lord, our lives through the simplicity of your gospel in Jesus' name. Amen. You're the salt and you're the light. Hallelujah. God bless you as you go home tonight.